only one hero can save her family and prevent disaster.
Mom, we're gonna be late for school!
I don't think so.
Whoa.
Experience the phenomenon that critics are calling inspiring.
Mom, I can't find number 17!
Come on, Billy! Dig deep!
A lot of fun. And pure genius.
Mom, where's my phone?
Table.
Keys.
Mudroom.
Dragon Man.
Under the couch between the monkey and the flip-flop.
How does she do that?
Created by God to demonstrate his love with grace, elegance, and poise.
Torch?
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Now, I've got a question. Do you love your mom? I don't hear any answers, so I guess not. You know, why do you love Mom? Or, let's be honest, there's some of you here who don't particularly love your mom, and why not? There's just something inside of us that says, I should love Mom. Same with way with God. I should love God. But sometimes it's hard to love somebody who's disappointed you. Honestly, there are some people who struggle to love your mom, right? Because in a significant way, your mom disappointed you. Same is true of God. Very often, God disappoints us. That's what I think of a lot on Mother's Day. You know, I am so excited for those of you who just look at this day and say, man, this day fills me with joy. God has blessed me as a mom, and I love it. But my heart also breaks for the people who feel like this is a day that reminds me that God has disappointed me. Maybe God in his wisdom has said, you're not going to be a mom. Or maybe there's somebody not here with you on Mother's Day, a mom or a grandma or maybe even a child, that God's already called that person home to heaven. And there's this sense of disappointment with God. Or maybe you're a mom and on the outside everything looks great, but there's this disappointment with God because your husband, the father of your kids, just kind of takes everything that you do for granted. And there's just that feeling to God, you know, is this really all there is? You see, I don't think it's uncommon for Christians to feel disappointed with God. And yet when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. This is the greatest commandment. So how is it that we should love a God who sometimes disappoints us? Well, Jesus was actually quoting here from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so in preparation for the message, I went back and reread the first five chapters of Deuteronomy. And there was a little phrase that kept repeating over and over again. It just kind of jumps out at you. It's the Lord, our God, or the Lord, your God. In five chapters, it occurs 15 times. 50 times. Evidently, the Holy Spirit was saying through Moses, this is a pretty significant name for God. And then in chapter 6, he says, and oh, by the way, this God that I've introduced to you 50 different times in the last 5 chapters, this is the God that I want you to love. And the 3 parts of that name help us understand why we always have a reason, no matter what happens, we have a reason to love God. The first is the word Lord. Lord in all capital letters is God's personal Savior name. You see it in the Old Testament. I call it his personal name because God is a generic term. Baal in the Old Testament is called God. Allah today we would call God. But the Lord, there's only one. And it's a Savior name because the Lord in all capital letters is based on something that God said to Moses on Mount Sinai. He said, I am that I am. That phrase emphasizes that God is unchanging and he is absolutely independent. Now, I can't say that I am that I am. You know, if I look at you and you go, you're not smiling, Ryan. I must have said something wrong. You know, the way you react influences me. I am partially what you make me. But God says, I am that I am. I'm absolutely independent. Now, that's true of all of God's characteristics, his power, his holiness, but it's especially comforting to remember that's true of his love. His love is unchanging and independent. It doesn't depend on how well a boy or girl you have been today. He is independent. The Israelites had certainly seen that. God didn't love the Israelites because, man, they are such a great nation. This is the people who worship the golden calf right there at the foot of Mount Sinai. This is the people who grumbled and complained all the way along for 40 years. This is the people who, when they were brought up to the edge of the promised land, said, I don't think God can fulfill his promise, and they ran the other way. God didn't love them because they were such great people. He loved them simply because of who he was. He is the unconditional love God. And this is the God that you and I have privilege to worship too. God so loved the world that he gave his son, right? His son gave himself into death for sinners, right? His love is not dependent on us. It is unconditional. And that's why we have reason to love him. We love him because he is God, and that term God is a term that emphasizes his limitless power. The Israelites had seen that limitless power of God. They had seen how God took the most powerful nation in the world and humbled that nation in just a few weeks, sending 10 plagues. They had seen this limitless power of God at work. When Pharaoh said, you can go, and God led the Israelites right up to the edge of the Red Sea, and then here comes the most powerful army in the world, the Egyptian army, with 600 battle tanks, the chariots of that day. Those were the battle tanks. Here they come. We're going to be wiped out. And the God of limitless power just divides the Red Sea in front of them. They walk through. They turn around and go, whoosh! The water goes back. And that frightening army is destroyed. They knew a God of limitless power. And that's the God that we worship today too. We're still in the Easter season. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, right? We celebrate that we have a God who can raise the dead. He is a God of limitless power, and so he is worthy of our love. But limitless power in and of itself can be scary. What if that power is used against us? And so we also celebrate that pronoun, your. He is your God. He is the God who has bound himself to you by a promise. He did that for the Israelites. He promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob they'd become a great nation, and God would lead them and give them the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. The Israelites were right on the edge of the promised land as Moses spoke these words. I've bound myself to you by promise, God said. You are going to go into that promised land. You are going to receive all the blessings that my power and my love can give you because I have bound myself to you by promise. And guess what? You and I have a God who does that for us too. Before the service, every Sunday here at the Bridge at 9:45, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And in that Lord's Supper, we receive Jesus' body and blood with the bread and wine. And in that body and blood that Jesus gave into the cross for us, we have the seal and guarantee of a new covenant. And this is the passage in Jeremiah 31 where that new covenant that Jesus talked about is recorded. And you'll see right in the center of that new covenant is this promise, I will be their God and they will be my people. You see this God of limitless power? He's bound himself to you by a promise. You can call him your God. So how do you love this God who you can't see, who has everything? How do you love him? That's made clear in this name as well. He is the Lord, the God of unconditional love. And so how do we worship him? It's by admitting to him that we need a God like him. You know, this is so different from all of our relationships. You know, one of the ways that my kids like to tease my wife, now that they're adults, is they tell all the stuff that they got away with. You see, there were a lot of secrets that my kids kept because they knew if mom knew, she would be hurt. You and I don't have to keep any secrets from God. That we can admit that we are by nature sinful. This is the confession that we used in the confession communion service earlier today. That we can admit that we're by nature sinful. We've done what's evil. We fail to do what's good. We're just admitting we're loving a God who says, I love you unconditionally, and we're saying, you're exactly the kind of God I need. We love the God of infinite power by trusting that power. You know, in preparation for the message, we like to study this text, the text, in our ministry growth team, which has both men and women present. And one of the questions I asked at that ministry growth team was, what do moms want to hear on Mother's Day? You know, and I asked because I don't know if you noticed, I'm not a mom. I didn't really know. And one of the things they mentioned was moms want to know that God's got it, that God's going to take care of it. You know, because I think there's something about moms that there's just wired into you a worry. You worry. How do we love God? We trust his limitless power. And then we submit. Where we just admit that, God, sometimes there are things that you have done that disappoint us. You've got limitless power. You say that you love us, but I don't understand why things have happened in my life, in the life of my children. Why have things happened the way they have? God, it doesn't make sense. But we love the God who says, "You are, I am your God," by trusting that he has bound himself to us by promise. And that even though we don't understand it, we know that he is using his power in our behalf. We submit to his will. That's why we pray, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven." Now, on Mother's Day, it's appropriate that we think in terms of how do we pass this love on to the next generation. One of the lessons in the other services is 1 Timothy chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul says about Timothy, "I remember the faith that was first in your mother Lois and in your grandmother Eunice, and now I'm convinced is also in you." I can't imagine there is any mom present here today who would say, "You know, I don't want that to be said of me." Doesn't every mom want to think, "You know what, in a generation or two generations from now, my grandchildren, maybe even my great-grandchildren, will thank God for the faith that I passed on to the next generation." That's part of what we want to do as moms, as dads, is pass on how to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. But it's not just moms. I love the fact that in our school, we have chapel buddies. Here are two chapel buddies. There is an older student, I think she is in fourth grade, and a student in 3K. Do you think that that 3K student looks up to her chapel buddy? If you understand my words right now, if you're old enough to understand my words, guess what? You are somebody that God is calling to teach others. You have children. It may not be physical children, but every one of us has spiritual children, people who are looking towards us to understand if it's really true that the Lord is your God, what does that mean? How does it affect you? How should I live my life? They're looking at you. You, whether you are a mom or grandma, an uncle, an aunt, a grandpa, a father, just a friend, a coworker, a classmate, you have people who are looking to you who need to be taught how to love the Lord their God with all their heart and soul and mind. So how do we do that? Well, if he is the Lord, the God of unconditional love, then we teach others to love God by showing that unconditional love. Isn't that what we love about moms? You know, we can blow it big time, but somehow mom still loves us because we're hers. That every one of the spiritual children that's around us, they need to see our unconditional love for him or her. That we share stories of God's limitless power. That we share the stories in the Bible history lessons that show that ours is a God of limitless power. He divides the Red Sea. But also share the stories of how God has shown his limitless power in your personal life. And then build a relationship. Build a relationship, first of all, with your God. If we're going to teach the spiritual children who are looking up to us to love the Lord their God with all their heart and soul and mind, they need to see that there is nothing more important to us than our relationship with the Lord, my God. And so, Let's be here. Let's make it a commitment. I am going to show everybody who knows me, everybody who sees me, that the Lord and his relationship with me, that he is my God, is the most important thing. There is nothing that is going to keep me from worship. And if I can't make it here in person, if I can't join in worship on a Saturday night over in the church or a Wednesday night, then I'm going to be online. Yay! If you didn't hear that online, they were cheering for you. Because there's nothing more important. It made a huge impact to me when my dad, when I was little, he sat in his favorite chair and he opened up this great big old family King James Bible and he read it cover to cover. Wow. I saw that there's nothing more important to my dad than his relationship with his Savior. And to watch my mom getting ready for Sunday school, she taught Sunday school for years and years, and she'd read her Bible and read the commentaries so that she could pass on the good news that the children that were her spiritual children in that Sunday school classroom could know that the Lord was their God too. Now I could stop here, and everybody would applaud because it's relatively short. But then I'd have a problem. Because if I stop now and walk off this stage, I'm walking off with this huge sack of guilt on my shoulders. And I know that many of you carry that same sack of guilt. Because you have to admit, you know, I've failed to love. I failed to love unconditionally. I failed to trust. I failed to model my faith to my children, my grandchildren, my spiritual grandchildren. Many of you are in a place where there are people that aren't Christian anymore. And you're just going, what did I do wrong? And there's this huge burden of guilt on your shoulders. And I don't want you to walk out of here with any guilt. And so what do? We remember who it is that we love. He is the Lord, our God. He is the Lord of unconditional love. And so we claim that unconditional love. Earlier we confessed our sins in that song. This is the standard confession that we use on our confessional service. It's the standard confession that we use in the traditional services. Where we just admit, Lord, there are things that nobody else knows. I can't even put it into words, but I just know that I am by nature sinful, that I have failed you, I failed the people around me. And to hear again the good news of forgiveness. I would invite you to join us in a special meal half an hour before our public worship service. You see, we always have communion here at the Bridge half an hour before the service. Why? Because we believe that God wants us to practice what we call close communion. That when we're taking communion together, we are saying that we've studied God's Word together and we have a common Christian faith, that we're encouraging each other in this same faith that we've confessed, and that the Lord's Supper is something that can actually be received to somebody's harm, so we want to do everything that we can to make sure that you're prepared to receive the Lord's Supper. If you're not a part of our congregation, you're not part of the Bridge, I would encourage you to stop by and talk to Sally and Nate. Pastor Nate's just starting a brand new Bible study. Come and get ready. And then I pray that we have just as many people now that we have here now that we would have that at 9:45 before all the guests come in. and we take Jesus' body and blood in the Lord's Supper. And what Jesus does is he reminds us that the base of all of this new covenant is God will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And he says, I know the stuff that you can't forget. I know your failures. And when we take his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, he just takes that great big old load of guilt off. And he says, you don't have to carry that anymore. I already carried that to the cross. You have a hard time forgetting it, but I want you to know I've forgotten it. Come. And let's celebrate this promise of unconditional love in Jesus' body and blood. And then, if we believe that ours is a God of limitless power, let's never stop praying. This past week, one of your brothers in Christ shared with me that he has been praying for his wife for over 40 years that she would be able to commune with him. He communed with her for the first time just a couple of weeks ago. Never stop praying. Just like my friend who went on and said, and I'm praying this same prayer for my daughter that I've been praying for the last 25 years. You see, we have a God of limitless power. Let's never stop praying. And let's hold on to his promises. For those of us who are parents, and we brought our kids to baptism, what a marvelous promise God gave, not just to our children, but to us. That in baptism, it is a washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Let's just hold God to his promise that his Holy Spirit is present in baptism and that we're asking, Lord, let that Holy Spirit continue to work in the hearts of our children. Let's hold God to his promise. He promised that his word will not return to him empty but will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. Let's hold God to his promise because he has bound himself to us as a God who fulfills promises. He is your God. He is my God. And so this is what I would ask you to do. My next steps. It's on the bottom of the message outline that you claim his unconditional love. If you have to admit that there are things that you wish you would have done differently, and you're struggling because you just go, I think I have had a negative impact on my children or the spiritual children who have looked up to me. Think about David after his adultery with Bathsheba. You don't think that he carried a pretty heavy load of guilt? Read Psalm 51 and claim with David God's unconditional love. Then read about God's limitless power. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is David and Goliath. The battle is the Lord's, David said. What are you afraid of for your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, the spiritual children who are looking up to you? What are you afraid of? You have a God of limitless power. Read this account and remember that the battle is the Lord's. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on the Lord, your God. And then memorize this short little phrase that his word will not return to him empty, but will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. God, I'm just holding you to your promise because that's what it means to love the Lord, my God. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I found that when my heart is filled, when I pray the Lord's Prayer, it's just the perfect prayer because every part of that prayer fits with what's on my heart and mind. So I just ask you to stand and let's close. Coming before the Lord our God in prayer. Please join with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.